I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Stand by for a brand new episode of All Things Good and Nerdy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 551 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. This is recorded live on Thursday, February 15th, 2024. It is the day after Valentine's Day. Thankfully, a day of celebration that my wife doesn't care about, so we did nothing. My name is Chris. I am joined, as per usual, by the typical band of misfits. We'll start first with Mr. Anthony Bachman.
Good evening.
Good evening, indeed. And then finally, making his triumphant return, one Willie D. Nelson.
For you audio listeners, my goatee is either the bat symbol or it's the rebel symbol. Is that what they're called?
100% the rebel alliance.
It's the rebel alliance. Yeah.
As soon as you said it.
As soon as you said it.
Why is the Rebel Alliance on? Why is the nuts of the Rebel Alliance on your chin? What is going on here? What did you do?
All right, I'm sorry. You much rather have Darth balls on your face? All right, I got you.
I don't know. You be into what you're into. I don't know. I just what? Yeah. How did that happen? Was that an accident?
How about this? Chris, can we exclude him out? Because I think me and you now have something in common, and that's we're both wearing wrestling shirts because I'm wearing my cream of the crop shirt.
Ooh, yeah.
Bro, I'm wearing my wrestling shirt. Where's your wrestling shirt? I know where his wrestling shirt
is. Oh, you're wearing your wrestling shirt? How about I was watching that promo when he cut it live? How about I'm that old, motherfucker?
What are you doing for him now?
Well, he's dead. Nothing.
Exactly my point, man.
I'll tell you, at any time, I'll give him 3 minutes. That's what I'm doing for Macho Man Randy Savage.
I don't like the way that sounds. Can we not record that?
Playtime.
I'm repping the man, the myth, the legend, Danhausen.
Hey, that's my goatee.
Sort of, yeah.
Chris is very nice and very evil tonight.
Very nice, very evil. I went to a game night with some friends of my wife's that I was meeting, and I was like, I'm going to go with the low key wrestling shirt, see if anyone notices it, because it just says very nice, very evil on it. Nobody noticed. I'm like, oh yeah, there's no wrestling fans here. Damn. I was like, maybe I found some more. I was like, nope. Nobody got the reference to very nice, nobody very noticed. Evil.
Oh, that's sad.
It happens sometimes.
But it's good to know when you can recognize your people.
I mean,
My Dark Tower tats have been noticed 5 or 6 times out in public.
I recognize
you got to be a deep Stephen King fan to notice these at a glance.
What's the name of that weirdo that was at our party? He had something about a dark man on his tattooed on his arm. It's weird guy, man.
Yeah, exactly. Throw up your freak flag. Find your freaky friends.
It's no fun being normal. So why bother?
I just put my head out there, and whoever rubs it, we're best friends. That's how that
normal's
works.
Normal's boring.
Wait, what?
He said normal's boring, Chris. Open your ears.
Okay.
So why? What happened? Was this an accident? Did you do this on purpose? What is with the shape, Willie?
Oh, no, it just usually does it. I don't think anyone's really ever looked at it that way. I mean, so I usually do when I trim it.
You're a natural-born rebel is what you're saying.
Apparently.
I think it's without a cause too, but I'm not sure.
A rebel without a clue.
Chris, what?
I said you beat me to it. What? I'm confused.
Oh, I didn't. Man, I can't hear nothing.
What am I, John Cena? You can't hear or see me?
Spit it out, man. What you trying to say?
Can't hear or see you.
What are you talking about? I'm honestly confused here.
I am too, man. I don't know.
I'm literally sitting here going, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Willie's ears don't work.
That's hard. You see, Chris, if you don't know you're the mark, that means you're the best mark.
Everyone's a mark.
It's true. Everyone's a mark for something.
Except Mark Hamill.
Oh, no. He's a huge
mark. He's the Joker.
He's a huge comic mark.
Yeah, he's a comic book fan. Big time one.
He's a fanboy.
Was he in Fanboys?
No, but he should have been.
He should have been, yeah.
He was in, but he wasn't in Fanboys, but he was in a film literally called Comic Book The Movie. That's a pretty big fanboy right there, when you're in Comic Book The Movie. That's actually not a bad film.
I've always seen it, never gave it a gander, but I can see the splash.
Yeah, it was all right.
I don't really remember it. I saw it at some point in time, but it's all Greek to me. Not that I speak Greek, but hey.
Greek?
Yeah, why not?
It's all geek to me.
I don't know where that... What?
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 Huh?
Who is this? Where am I? I'm cold.
That was actually pretty good.
I've done it a couple times. What can I say? I'm an old man.
You have resumed the role of old man without SP here this week.
Old man yells at clouts.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was nice being the youngin' on the podcast for, I think, the first time ever. I don't know if we've ever had anybody on here older than me.
SP's been on before, so he's been older than you then.
Yeah, I don't know if I was on the last time SP was on.
That's
but
fair.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, someone more bearded than I probably, you know.
He does. It's the time of year where SP has the full beard.
Yeah, he was going like full Ted Krasinski there for a while. He was looking straight up Unabomber. Like that thing was getting big and crazy.
I mean, he's talked about it on the Gunna Geek show before. This is the time of year when SP grows the beard, when it's time to start mowing the lawn again. He then cuts the beard because if he has the beard, all sorts of pollen and crap gets stuck in his beard and it makes his allergies bad. So this is beard season for SP.
Whereas he grew that much beard that fast is impressive. Because, that beard looked like it's ready to write a manifesto.
The rest of us, it's beard season all the time.
Pretty much.
It was about a year ago, 2 years ago, I had a full beard. Oh, that was a full manly ZZ Top beard.
I mean, we can play back the tape and probably find it.
Man, that sounds like effort. And I ain't asking you to do all that.
That's fair. I ain't asking me to do all that either.
It sounds like you kind of were.
I'm saying effort. I could, not that I would.
I was told there'd be no effort.
I did some effort for prep to set some other stuff up, but it just isn't. It's not that time of the show yet. But you guys do know what time of show it is now, right?
No. What?
No? Oh, well, here it is.
Live from the ATGN studios on the internet, it's the news of the week.
We are now into the news of the week. It is that part of the show where we run down what's in our minds, what is some of the most interesting geeky and or nerdy news to have popped up here in the past week or so, and share it with you fine folks who are watching live. Now, a little spoiler alert. I kind of promised you last week when we had some breaking news that my follow-up news would be breaking the same day as this podcast. So if you tune into last week's episode, you probably know what my news is. But because we don't want to get to that yet, and because Willie might be slightly time limited, we're going to toss things over to Mr. Willie D. Nelson. What do you got for us?
Worlds are colliding. Gravitational pulls are pulling. And Deadpool's coming into the Marvel MCU, I guess. It's a thing. The toupee really threw me off, man. I'm not going to lie. What the?
It was so funny looking that fucking
Why thing. Was it so light colored? Why was it so light?
Because I think the whole point is like the way that he wears like the Hawaiian shirts. Like they put, if you're going to put a toupee on Wade Wilson, it has to be the toupee that looks the most like a toupee. And you know Ryan Reynolds, they probably sat there in a hair and makeup trailer and went through 200 hair pieces to find the one that looked the weirdest.
The most off-putting they could find is what they went with.
They probably put him in full makeup and then sat there and just tried on toupee after toupee until they found the one that just made people look at it and go, what the fuck?
And it just looks like, cousin, it's erect penis.
Well, that's probably sort of the feeling they want you to have about it.
There you go. I mean, at least he's not, at least he wasn't shirt cocking the toupee
this time.
But what's
wrong
with that?
At least not in the trailer.
Lord only knows what's coming in this. It's zany, over the top, seems to have lots of hints at characters appearing from the Fox universe and who knows where else. And people have already been dissecting that trailer to find the Easter eggs. And there's some decent Easter eggs in that trailer.
Well, and not even an Easter egg, blatant and up front, there is pegging mentioned in a trailer put out by Disney.
Pegging's due to Disney.
At Disney. Like, that shit was funny. It was supposed to be scaring. Pagan's not new to me. It's just new to Disney. Like, that shit was so good. I laughed so hard when he said that line. It was so dumb.
Oh, it was a great line. I loved it. It was hilarious. I mean, who would have thought that that would be one of the first things they drop in the trailer they released around the Super Bowl? That being said, I don't think that part aired during the Super Bowl, because they did the typical thing of movie trailers now where it's like, show a 30-second trailer and be like, check out the full trailer online, which they did there.
Well, because, this is actually a teaser trailer that's online. So it's not even the first full trailer. It's the first full teaser. But, I think what was on, I want to say what they showed on the Super Bowl, because we were watching live when it popped up. I think it was no more than 10 seconds. Like, it was really fast.
Yeah.
And then it just said, see the teaser trailer online now.
I mean, it was like, it was either pregame or the very beginning of the game, because I had just turned the Super Bowl on and I got a notification. It's Wario64 just tweeted this, and it was the Deadpool trailer's YouTube link. And I was like, holy hell, is the game even started?
It was super early. It was after kickoff, I believe. But I mean, it was within the first 5 minutes of the game, I think. Yeah. And it was like all of a sudden on my phone, it's like, oh, Ryan Reynolds just tweeted and posted on Instagram. Hugh Jackman just tweeted and posted on Instagram. Like, my phone blew up. It's like, oh, here we go. Deadpool 3. Let's get it.
Well, I imagine Ryan Reynolds was having fun with that happening. And then he was poking fun. Like, has anyone seen my wife? For those unaware, his wife was literally in the box suite standing next to Taylor Swift all night. So that was the gag, is he's like, I don't know where my wife is. And it'd be like, oh, she's right there. Right there, dude.
Oh, of all the cameos and the Easter eggs, which one was the one you were most impressed to see in the Deadpool 3 trailer?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to be the Wolverine one is what they want you to say. But I think the funniest one for me was the 20th Century Fox logo.
Oh, well, fair enough.
That one just made me laugh. I mean, it makes me think that this scene where we saw all that fighting with where all these Easter eggs are, like the Secret Wars comic book and stuff like that, is, and I'm going to mess up the phrasing, but remember in season one of Loki, when Loki gets zapped out of existence, he goes to that land in between or whatever it is where all the purged things go. I think Deadpool's there, and that's how your Easter egg potential comes into place, because all the variants the TVA will have deleted could be in that land.
And that's where you get all of your X-Men and other cameos.
And that's why we have the 20th Century Fox logo, why we have the bridge that Magneto ripped out of the ground in X3 there and stuff like that.
Of all the stuff we were expecting to see, the one that I was not expecting to see was Pyro.
No, was like, that was really cool.
I was like, and it was the same. It's like, I had to look at it. It was Aaron Sanford. I liked that kid in the movie he was in. Like, he was good as Pyro. Like, a character that was very whiny in the comics and the cartoon and never very interesting. And in the movie, he was actually like an interesting character. It's like, oh shit, fucking Pyro's back. Fuck yeah. I'm glad that kid got another paycheck.
Made me feel old, because I remember watching the X-Men movies and the kid was like, what, late teens, early 20s, probably. Yeah. Before. Now all of a sudden I'm like, dude, he's a grown ass man now.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm old.
He was probably 18 in X2. And because he was X-Men 2, X-Men United, right?
He was an X1 also, wasn't he?
Maybe. I don't remember if he was in X1 or not.
I'm assuming we're talking about Sean Astin.
No, Sean Pyro.
Oh.
Sean Ashmore?
Ashmore? Yeah, Sean Ashmore. The
twins?
His twin looks like his twin.
It's weird, because one of them's Jimmy Olsen, the other one is Bobby Drake Iceman.
Let me see if I can find a screen share.
We were talking about Aaron Sanford, the kid that plays Pyro.
I don't know. Who's Pyro? Like, I can't remember. Would I know him from other stuff?
He was in X-Men 1 and 2.
Well, I mean, other than X-Men, was he in 1?
I thought he was, but for those unaware, let me see if the screen share will work here. This is who we're talking about. this character here is Pyro. And if you go look him up on IMDb, you see, oh yeah, he was in X2 and X3 and maybe X1. I can't remember. So they actually brought Aaron Stanford. That's the actor's name. It's right here on the front of the page, back to play Pyro.
You know, okay. I kept seeing on his IMDb. I just see.
I keep seeing that picture. I never really guessed who it was. I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah, and X-Men Last Stand. So yeah, 2 and 3, I think. So yeah, he's done a couple like TV shows, did some voice work on Call of Duties, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Mad Men, Nikita, did some comedy Bang Bang. So yeah,
been in Fear the Walking Dead, Bang Bang, you say.
He's been in some stuff. He hasn't been not working. Just yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. Like sometimes, you know, actors kind of get sad about it. It's like, oh, what have you done lately? It's like, well, motherfucker, I just did 13 things. Like I've been working nonstop since X3. You just ain't seen him. It doesn't mean he wasn't working. Because yeah, it looks like he's been constantly doing TV and movies basically nonstop since X2. Like kids have been working.
Yeah, there's some good breakdowns of different Easter eggs there. Like, for instance, they show that scene of like Deadpool in full costume waking up in a bed. It's Hulk's bed from Thor Ragnarok, for instance. Like the bed has the teeth on it and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
They actually
I didn't do a deep dive on it.
So I'll screen share this. We can talk about it a little bit. GameSpot had a decent breakdown. And assuming the screen share comes up, we can talk about it. Like, for instance, one of the scenes, I thought it was based off the tank that had fallen down. It's the scene where Logan died.
Yeah, the forest from
the forest. Only there's movie. Snow down this time.
And yes, it looks like it's Deadpool killing TVA members, right?
Yes, in this case, those are TVA members whose uniforms are different than the TVA uniforms we've seen in Loki. So the question is this before Loki? Is this after Loki? And it's now the TVA that serves Loki versus He Who Remains. It would be interesting. Let's see. We touched on that one. 20th Century Fox logo broken in the background. I think that's hilarious. Great. This is not Dr. Doom like everyone's trying to say.
In that scene, I was just trying to figure out what is that weird ass like shield thing that was popping up. Because I was like, that better not be Trash Doom. If that's Mad Max Trash Doom, I'm going to be very unhappy.
It's not going to be Doom. They're not going to unveil Doom here. Yeah.
Let's see. Like Magneto. We mentioned,
Pyro. It'd be cool if it was. And then, of course, we have the return of one Wolverine.
Wait, Wolverine's in this?
Little bit.
The movie is called Deadpool and Wolverine, not Deadpool 3.
They're called Deadpool and Wolverine? No,
Hugh Jackman fixed it. It's called Wolverine and Asshole.
That's true.
I love that he tweeted that.
Wait, Deadpool's Wolverine now?
No.
Now,
him an asshole. That's the joke.
Some people think this bald head we saw is the back of Professor Xavier's head. I think it's his sister. Just to screw with us. Remember that character? Yeah.
No, I don't. Man,
I can't. Yeah.
Cassandra Brand. Is that what it is or something like that?
Cassandra Nova.
Nova. That's it.
Yep. I was like, wait, what the fuck was her name? Yeah. Cassandra Nova. Yeah. Which that was a fucked up character. It wasn't. If I remember Professor Xavier. Like it was his twin that he ate in the womb.
Womb somehow. And her. Yeah. Her mind essence was stored in his body until it found a way to escape and rebuild a body somehow. So like she's Xavier's twin sister who is his equal that he killed in the womb somehow with his psychic powers.
Yeah. When they added to the list of Xavier's a prick stories, it's like, oh yeah, Prof X has always been a prick. He killed his twin in the womb. He's been an asshole since before day one.
I mean, I don't think it was consciously, but
he's psychic. He got that big brain.
I mean, I guess there is that.
Yeah. Prof X has been an asshole since before day one.
Yeah. So the trailer looked awesome. I was excited to see it. It was pretty much everything that had been leaked online. If you'd caught any of the leaks, which thankfully I had only caught a little bit of them. And honestly, at this point, I don't care about leaked teaser trailer spoilers anymore.
Yeah. Plus, it's Deadpool 3. It's Deadpool. Come on. Yeah,
it's the whole. As long as they don't leak all the funny cameos, I'm gonna get.
Yeah,
I'm fine because that's gonna be half the fun. I mean, there's a lot of rumors out there about people who are going to appear in that movie, and I don't think they can all be true. If they are, that's pretty impressive. If they pull that off,
sure.
You never know.
Sort of sure.
The IMDb list is pretty big for what's supposedly confirmed in the film.
Yeah, but anyone can update IMDb in theory. So
true.
IMDb can often be wrong because people will act in what they think is their best insight as to something they've seen online that isn't true.
I'm excited to see it though. The Deadpool movies are just hilarious and they're perfect. Like,
well, I mean, all right.
We're getting to the point now where the Deadpool movie, I think, can be used to help recenter a lot of things that may have gotten muddied up if it's dealing with the TVA and blowing things out of the water. And it's making it so that Marvel is now focusing on the X-Men a bit because they're capitalizing on that. Because what, like a week later, they dropped the trailer for X-Men 97.
Yep.
Which is going to be dropping in March on Disney Plus, which I was not expecting that soon. I expected this summer.
Yeah. So, which, yeah, it's coming out next month.
Drop X-Men 97, people hyped so that they're ready for Deadpool with getting a bunch of Merry Mutant action.
Let's see what.
I don't like the way you worded that.
Merry Mutant action?
Oh, yeah. And the X-Men 97 prequel comic is coming out March 27th as well. So they're doing a new comic on the X-Men 97 and the cartoon in the same month.
Yeah, it's mutant time.
Yeah, bring out the mutants, bring out the first family, and give us a new restart to the MCU. Give me a storyline I can care about as much as Iron Man to Endgame with the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Good luck.
That was the other thing, since we're sort of talking Marvel stuff, is they surprised us with a Valentine's Day announcement of the Fantastic Four cast.
Which, yeah, and that was like, yeah, I was not prepared for it. And Pedro Pascal is the MCU daddy. Like, and it works.
I mean, we knew that one was coming, but
yeah, sure about the whole Eddie is Storm, but that's because I've only seen him as the kid from Stranger Things. So, I mean, when you've only seen an actor do one role, it's hard to know what type of range they have.
Fair. I mean, it's pretty much looking at this cover. It's pretty much confirmed to be in the 60s because this is an episode of Life magazine from 1963 and stuff like that. So we're going to have something we had kind of theorized on this show based off some rumors. 1960s style Fantastic Four.
Now, hold on a second. Now, I get it. But what are the odds that they just said, I don't know, let's just do a random 60s fucking Time magazine. Which one's a famous one? Let's go with that one. We're going to do this exact day and date one, and it's going to cause a whole mystery.
Willie, people literally matched it up to the magazine, to the Life magazine. That's John Ford leaning on the Resolute desk.
That changes nothing. I said at first was, what was the odds that they just chose a random one and just said, how about that one?
I think it's more they chose one that was iconic so that people would be able to glean the time period in which the show was, or not show, movie was going to be set.
Yeah,
fair enough. I mean, I get the decade, but I mean,
I don't think anything that they're releasing to announce the Fantastic Four, nothing that they're putting in an image like that is going to be not thought through by a committee of 27 geeks. Like,
And you know what's going to be fun?
Going to be covered.
This is currently set to come out 2 weeks after James Gunn's Superman movie, so we're going to have some superhero fights. Barring any scheduling changes and stuff like that. We know the nature of these movies is scheduling changes are fairly likely.
I'm all right with that.
And I'm not saying this to stoke fanboy wars. It's more of, holy shit, I get to go see a Superman movie. Then a couple weeks later, I get to go see a Fantastic Four movie. Awesome.
Yeah, get to see a hopeful Superman movie full of heart and then follow that up with the first family of comics.
Yeah, I'm totally on board.
I'm good with that. Willie's just thinking about it. He's not sure how he feels yet.
Am I supposed to have a feeling and not just vibe and exist? Do I have to have a feeling on it?
You need to be hooked on a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not biting that bait.
Why not? Why are you ruining my fun?
You have earned zero fun.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's fair enough.
Cool. I'll win this time.
You win this time. So let's shift over to our next news story here. And Remember last week when SP was on the show, we talked a little bit about the rumors online that were spiraling out of control that, oh my God, Microsoft's getting out of the hardware business. They're going to put all their games on Sony now is what the rumors are, which if you recall correctly on this show, we kind of went, wait, pump your brakes, I don't think this is going to be quite what you expect it to be. You guys remember that? Maybe.
I do. I was here.
Yeah. I wasn't.
That's true.
I remember.
So I want to flash back a sec because we had SP on the show and he expressed some very strong feelings and I want to bring those up so then we can talk about how well they may have aged.
I'd be interested in a collected edition of games Gears of War on my PlayStation. I'll tell you that. Because I don't want to buy another Xbox, but I would play Gears of War on my PlayStation.
I am deeply hurt. I'm deeply hurt.
Fair.
Because in the holiday season, I grabbed an Xbox X or Series X. It was the first next generation console I had bought. And I bought it because I wanted the exclusive titles that Xbox had. And now you're telling me I can play them on other platforms. I'm hurt. I feel betrayed. Microsoft, F you.
Those were some strong words from our friend Stargate Pioneer here. Now, before you guys think we're stoking fanboy wars, obviously SP was kind of playing things up for shits and giggles here and kind of leaning into the fact that there's a lot of people online that was their legitimate thought, is that they were pissed that Microsoft was going to potentially put all of these games on their platforms. Like, why the hell did I buy an Xbox? I'm just going to sell my Xbox because I'm so mad. And arguably some of those people did because they like those performative bullshit tactics of I'm mad, so I'm going to sell things. So what actually ended up happening is Microsoft, shortly after we recorded our show last week, had put out an announcement and said, hey, there's a lot of rumors out there. We're going to get out after these rumors and we're going to have something come out on the 15th of February. Note, we're recording this on the 15th of February. That kind of outlines some of our future plans and kind of puts some of these rumors to bed because the rumors were insane. I mean, they got to the point where people were like, it just means every Xbox game is going to be on PlayStation or Switch, which if you're a rational human being, I don't think was the case. And also, if you want to be able to play games anywhere, it might not be a terrible thing, depending on how you look at it. But I also don't subscribe to fanboy wars when it comes to video game systems. So what actually ended up happening is that today at about either 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern, I can't remember which exactly, they released a new episode of the official Xbox podcast that had Phil Spencer and a bunch of the other leadership team of the Xbox division on there to be like, okay, here's what's happened. And what actually came out is Phil Spencer said, quote, we've made the decision that we're going to take four games to other consoles. Now, they did not say what four games those were going to be. However, Tom Warren on The Verge has said what has been reported to him is Hi-Fi Rush, which we'd already gotten the leaked info that said that was going to happen. And Pentiment, and then also Pentiment I haven't played yet, so I don't know anything about it. The other two games he heard were Sea of Thieves and Grounded were the other two that would be coming to other consoles. They did not specify whether it was PS5 and Switch or Switch on these ones. That being said, Sea of Thieves and Grounded, those are really good games to play with a large group of people. I sort of get why those might be ones you would pick. Because you put those out, you get people to play the game across multiple console ecosystems and build the player base up. And Sea of Thieves has a fairly robust player base right now. Like when the game first started, people weren't too keen on it, but they've built it up. And there's a lot of people that play that game right now.
I mean, if you ask me, I'd be much more interested in playing Sea of Thieves over Skull and Bones.
I was playing Skull and Bones during the beta, and I tend to agree with you. That said, my dad really likes Sea of Thieves, so I'll probably be getting it to play with my dad.
I love being a ship.
I mean, that is fun.
You are the ship.
And you get to run around on islands occasionally.
The buy things. Go back to being a ship then.
So Phil Spencer had also continued to speak on the podcast and said, I do have a fundamental belief that over the next 5 or 10 years, exclusive games that are exclusive to one piece of hardware are going to be smaller and smaller part of the game industry. now, from his point of view, he can sort of say that because he bought up some of those companies that were putting out some of those exclusive games. And arguably, I think we could say that Microsoft, having bought Activision and Activision Blizzard and Bethesda and things like that, may have changed their views a little bit when it comes to exclusivity and stuff like that, because they bought publishers that were putting out a lot of games across multiple console systems, and shifting all of those to just one specific console makes that acquisition yield less cash in the end, I guess would be the best way of putting it. Not an articulate way though, but so maybe that's part of what shifted it. Spencer confirms that Starfield and Indiana Jones are not part of the first four games that would be moved over, but he does not rule out the possibility they could arrive in the future on PS5, saying, "I don't think we should, as an industry, ever rule out a game going to any other platform. We're focused on these four games and learning from the experience. We don't have work going on other franchises. But for anybody to stand up and say nothing's never going to happen, I think it feels like creating more certainty in a world of gaming. We really want to respond to what customers want and what players and creators are looking for." So the takeaway,
never say never.
Never say never, but their plans right now are fairly limited to take a small subset of Xbox exclusive games and make them available across other consoles. And before people start going, "Oh my God, it's the end of the world, it's crazy," they've already done it. It's called Minecraft.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I would say that's not quite analytical to this, because that was already on everything when the purchase happened.
Fair, and but they didn't have to continue to
put it on. Yeah. They did continue it, I will give you that, but it's not quite the same. But I mean, you do have that point. But I mean, Microsoft, you keep Starfield. No one wants that shit.
I thought Starfield was fine.
Threaten me with Starfield. And yeah, Jones, I'm all right with it. I'll play it. I wouldn't mind one play, but I'm not going to buy an Xbox for it.
So that was what we learned about the console stuff. They did toss some other teases and information out there that is also worth talking about. Specifically, they gave us the first Game Pass subscriber numbers that we've gotten in the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I think it was either 25 or 24 million subscribers. They're up to 34 million subscribers to Game Pass right now.
Microsoft's actually putting out numbers. Okay.
That's what, that's like one in every 10 Americans. That's not bad.
I honestly don't know. They did also mention, as part of that Game Pass announcement, the first Blizzard Activision game would be coming to Game Pass in March. That's Diablo 4. So the new Diablo you can play on as part of Game Pass. I think it was March 22nd. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Man, March is going to be a crowded month.
Yeah. So they are, 34% of the way towards their goal of 2030 hitting 100 million Game Pass subscribers. They have a bit of a ways to go in the next 6 years to hit that target. But that is probably also why they're potentially sticking their toe in the water of putting games out in other services, so that potentially you could have a Game Pass service that could operate on other ecosystems, even if it just ran the streaming app.
I mean, why is it a bad thing to milk it on Xbox, and then after it's milked on there, then put it out just to get extra money on other things? Why would that be a negative for the console you like?
I don't think it is, but the people that indulge in the fanboy wars, well, like you. Why am I going to buy an Xbox if I can just wait 6 months and play it on PS5?
Well, if you already have an Xbox, you only got to wait that 6 months.
So I mean, then the question, the statement those people are making is, why do I bother buying an Xbox if I can just wait and it'll come out on a PS5?
Because people already know whether or not they're going to have an Xbox or a PlayStation. They already got that settled. Come on, man.
It's true. They did also at this event, because I'm just kind of powering through, they did also tease the next gen upgrades. We talked a little bit about the leaks and the things that came out, and Phil Spencer downplayed those. But Xbox president Sarah Bond had said on the podcast, in regards to upcoming hardware, "We've got more to come. There's some exciting stuff coming out in hardware that we're going to share this holiday. We're also invested in the next generation roadmap. What we're really focused on there is delivering the largest technical leap you'll have seen in a hardware generation, which makes it better for players and better for creators and the visions they're building." So new hardware getting kind of previewed soon, which sort of falls in line with some stuff we saw from Sony, where they are saying that the PS5 is hitting the end stage of its life cycle, which seems really strange to say.
Yeah, because I feel like I just bought it a week ago. Like, it seems brand new.
Yep, that's... Huh.
Yeah. Phil Spencer had also done an interview with The Verge after the podcast where he went a step further teasing some of the hardware stuff. And I'm reading this article directly from The Verge. You can find it in our show notes at bit.ly/ATGN551. In that interview, he said, "I'm very proud of the work that the hardware team is doing, not only for this year, but also into the future. We're really thinking about creating hardware that sells to gamers because of the unique aspects of the hardware. It's kind of an unleashing of the creative capability of our hardware team, and I'm really excited about it." Now, the author theorizes maybe that unique hardware might be handheld. He floated out to Phil Spencer, where he replied, "We see a lot of opportunity in different types of devices, and we'll share specifics on the future hardware plans as soon as we are ready." Now, there have been rumors of an Xbox handheld that have been floating around for the past few months, a variety of different sources, sort of like a mid-tier, think something in comparison to what the current things are. I guess the best way of equating it would be something that's like an Xbox Series S version of power. But if you want to get into things that require more horsepower, could stream a game from the cloud, similar to how they do Game Pass streaming right now. So basically a Switch that's more powerful, they can do all of their cloud gaming through the Game Pass app, is sort of what we're looking at.
They could do, they could have a handheld and they could call it the Zoom, but spell with an X in that, front of it.
That would be fun. I would like that.
Same, just spell it differently.
I mean, I like Zoom, that idea.
You could pronounce it like that, right? Zoom with an X instead of the sure. LZ.
Yeah, it'd be the Zoom series Zoom, though, right?
Sure, why not? What the fuck ever. Which That's one the way did they name SP shit. Buy? Because I don't even know which one that he was referring to. Was it the newest one?
He has the newest one, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He just recently bought it. I one of the other things that came up in the interview is Phil Spencer also brought up the fact that we've seen a big shift towards people wanting handheld gaming between the Switch, the Steam Deck, all of the Windows handheld PCs that are out there now. And Spencer had said, "I'm a big fan of handhelds. I'm a big fan, but nothing to announce." But said, "One of the weak points in the experience on things like an ROG or the Lenovo is Windows." So he took a shot at his own platform here, saying how Windows works in the controller input only on that kind of DPI on a smaller 8 or 7 inch screen. "That's a real design point that our platform team is working with Windows to make sure that the experience is even better." And there are people that have complained about how Windows is kind of clunky for these handheld gaming systems that are all Windows based. So we're talking like the Asus ones, the Lenovo ones that have come out, not the Steam Deck, which uses SteamOS. So they teased a bunch of stuff. I think they eased most rational people's worries into the fact that this doesn't mean that Microsoft is getting out of the business of having their own console and having console exclusives. They're instead dipping their toe in the water. And that probably does mean if this is successful and they see a reasonable number of sales that makes that investment in porting towards PS5 or Switch worthwhile, they might take some of these other games and put them out there. And I honestly think, and I said it last week, it'd be kind of cool if they took the Gears of War combined collection, which has been on Xbox forever, and said, okay, here's a PS5 version of it that's out there, so the PS5 gamers have a chance to play it. And I mean, how freaking weird would it be to put Halo out on PS5?
That would strange be strange as hell.
Willie, how do you feel about this as someone who has been on the... And I'm not saying you're a console fanboy, but you play predominantly on your PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. As someone who is in the other ecosystem, how do you feel about what you've heard about Microsoft's plans right here?
I mean, like I said, I mean, make some extra money. Why not? I mean, I wouldn't mind playing some, but I wouldn't mind some Sunset Overdrive made by Insomniac. Come on, put it over, Microsoft. Be sweet. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of missing, I know. Crackdown series, why not?
Yeah, it'd be
fun. Was Crackdown first party by Microsoft?
Yes.
Okay, well, no, sure, if it was first party.
Crackdown 1 through 3, those are all from Microsoft Studios.
There was three of them, that's right.
There was three of them. The third one came out in this console generation with Terry Crews as the lead, I think, or something like that.
You sure one last generation?
Okay, yes, it was last generation. Then they didn't update to the Series X for it. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm getting it twisted.
I get it.
So they made it like cross generation with the way they did it.
Crackdown.
Some performance upgrades.
That was like Grand Theft Auto with a cop and a super suit.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
With like a fully destructible environment is how they spun it originally.
Yeah, I think I might have played like the second one on a rental or something.
And I will say, Sony kind of did something smart this time while Microsoft's getting hammered about this and fanboys are melting down over it. Did you notice, like, it was either yesterday or the day before, that they kind of stealth dropped the fact, oh yeah, we're not releasing any first party exclusive games in 2024.
Wait, Microsoft also said that?
No, Sony said that. Oh, Microsoft was taking this beating. And I am not one that indulges in the fanboy wars, but I did kind of make a sarcastic remark on the Threads side of things, which is, I wonder if this is going to get covered nearly as heavily as the fact that Microsoft got hammered over it for a couple years.
Yeah, I saw that headline. I was like, what the fuck are these studios working on? Like, what is I already kind of know what Insomniac's working on.
Yeah, it all leaked.
What is Sucker Punch? What is Sucker Punch working on?
Right.
I'm still curious about that.
So, and I'm not saying this to indulge in fanboy wars. I'm saying more their timing was fortuitous because everyone's melting down over these Xbox rumors and things like that. And then this kind of slips out. And what are people talking about a few days later? It's not the fact that there's no Sony console exclusive first party games in a year. It's Microsoft's plans, and here's why Microsoft's plans are bad, or here's why Microsoft's plans are good, with no mention of what the competition is doing, which I find slightly annoying just because
Sony smartly used the news cycle to their advantage. They're like, watch, we're gonna pop this in the middle and watch it disappear.
I mean, but it's a problem, though. It's a problem that I understand, because as an Xbox gamer, I lived through that lack of exclusive games from first party for a while, and it sucked. And I sat there and I watched people rightfully hammer Microsoft on it and give people a hard time. And I don't want fanboy wars, but at the same time, I don't feel like I should just be glossed over and ignored just because it's Sony.
Yeah. Cause that's all it really was. They just used the news cycle and they just made a little bit of news disappear by putting in between two other things. It sucks, but it happens.
I mean, but this is something that it's because of games journalism and games ethics, or whatever the hell it was, the Gamergate people were
ethics and games journalism.
Ethics and games journalism. I mean, I'm not saying the Microsoft story wasn't important and things like that, but I don't feel like that should have buried this story, because it is a legitimate thing to say we're in, what is it, year 5 of the PlayStation 5 release, 4 or 5? And we're 5 years in and we're taking an off year to not have any first party exclusive games. That's really strange. And that's indicative of the fact that something might not be quite right.
Maybe. I have no idea, but I didn't really care either way myself. I was like, all right. Because once again, I had no idea what their studios are even doing. So it was kind of hard to care about something you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
I just found it really odd, because remember, part of the allure of the PS5 has been, hey, here's all these great first party exclusive games we have.
Yeah, they're all there. Yeah. I mean, they're still there. They're not going away.
I mean, I guess once you've got the lead, it doesn't really matter.
That's true. Yeah, when there's not, competition makes, companies better. It's like, oh, we're winning. Yeah, we don't care now. It's like,
I mean, I don't think it's that. I think there's likely some stuff that's going on where some of the stuff is more complex than anticipated, and there's delays and stuff like that. And I think they spun it as, we're just going to make these games come out when they're at their best state, which, is a similar thing we heard Microsoft say, and everyone hammered them ridiculously for it. So I'm kind of amused by the double standard, I guess. And Maybe I am indulging in fanboyism a little bit there, just because it annoys me. The console I prefer to play on got hammered on that for a while, and the competition isn't.
I mean, trust me, I felt it.
Makes sense.
I mean, I was going to say that too. It's like, well, how many years has Xbox not done it? But I mean, all right. But if you want to complain about this year,
But here's the thing: Xbox got hammered for it.
Did they? I didn't think I really...
Games journalists were all over the fact that, Microsoft still doesn't have those good exclusives out.
They don't got pants into those jerkwads. They can't even play the games. Who cares what they have to say? Let's go back and watch that Cuphead thing. Let's go back.
No, they were bad at Cuphead. But to be fair, Cuphead is kind of hard, though, too.
No. It wasn't they were bad at Cuphead. They couldn't understand the idea of double jumping. How many games can you double jump in and they can't grasp when it's right there screen telling you press the button again to double jump, and they're just bloop. Well, how'd that happen? Bloop.
What's going on? Bloop. I don't know what to do.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Japan's got a perfect record. We're number two. We try harder. It's a perfect cabin in the woods quote. Xbox is number two. They try harder. Like, it's whoever's in the league doesn't have to try, but whoever's right behind them has to try to take that lead. They're putting in the work.
Yeah. So that's kind of the takeaway after we talked about it last week, that there'd be the announcement coming out. I think I won't call it quite a nothing burger from Microsoft, but I will say that it is leaks that got out of control. And I can kind of understand why Phil Spencer and the rest of his team were like, probably behind the scenes, what the fuck is going on here? And like, how do we get ahead of this? And then impromptu did a podcast to cover it. And then some people were shitting on them for doing a podcast. Like, they should do a big event. I was like, why?
Yeah. Why? A big event for what?
Yeah. I mean, it all sounds like good news. What are people upset about?
People aren't happy unless they're upset about the state of video games.
It's all good news. There's right. No downfall. Where's the downfall for the Xbox fanboy? Where's the bad news for you? Is it that other consoles get access to the games that you already have access to? That should hurt you none.
If Uncharted
goes to Xbox, it hurts me none. I've already got to enjoy
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Let's keep in mind those four games they're going to do this pilot effort with have been out on Xbox for years at this point in time.
Exactly.
Years.
Yeah.
So why does it matter?
You know, Microsoft, get with Sony and do a game. Put your Game Pass on PlayStation. That'd be hilarious. I'd be on that.
Man, the real missed opportunity is putting it on the Switch. Because you can't tell me the Switch hardware couldn't handle game streaming when you can buy a piece of shit Android tablet and pair a Bluetooth controller with it and stream games that way from the cloud. There's no reason the Switch couldn't do that too.
Well, I mean, I wanted to say it earlier when you were saying like the future is handheld. I hope the high hell.
No,
it's not handheld.
They think the future.
Like, I don't mind handhelds. Potential. I don't want gaming. I know that when you were talking about.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify, was not me stating that. It was the article stating that.
All right. Since Chris said that's where we're headed as Americans, God damn it. I'm going to take him at his word. There it is. But
you got to take it as the gospel.
I don't really care for handheld gaming all that much. Like, Switch was fun for a while, but I mean, when's the last time I used it? When it got a game I wanted to play on that was specifically just for the Switch. That's the only time I have anything for the Switch is when it's just for the Switch. Not even for PC. It's just for Switch. Like, that's the only time.
Yeah, I will not pick up a multi-party game or multi-platform game on the Switch if I can play it on one of my other consoles, unless it's an indie game where it's not going to matter as much. Like, Hades on the Switch is perfect for me because I can just pick it up and sit on the couch and play until the battery runs out on it. I don't think there's enough of a difference from performance for me. Like, oh my God, I should get it on the Xbox instead.
I mean, and also back to the other thing that you said, putting Game Pass on the Switch, what if you're on a car trip?
Would you just hotspot your cell phone and problem solved?
What if they don't have access to hotspot that? Or what if it's not strong enough?
That's always the problem with cloud gaming. Yes.
So why kind of push it ahead of schedule to a handheld? That's the only issue I would say.
Well, the rumors I had seen on the Xbox handheld was that the handheld would be able to play the vast majority of the games. Not necessarily as at the same high quality because it's a handheld device. And then if you want to get to the higher quality version of it, then you would cloud stream it, basically, is what the rumors had been that they were exploring. So let me set up a use case here, potentially, is I want to play Gears of War 6 when that comes out. And I buy the Xbox handheld device, whatever the hell they're going to call that. So
Zoom.
We'll call it the Zoom for the Zune, rather, for lack of a better term. Zoom. Yeah, Zune. Right. So the way it had been described in some of the stuff I had seen leaked before is it would be there's a version you can install on your Zune, since we're going to call it that, where you can play the game. And the way Microsoft works is all of your save games are always synced to the cloud as without even paying for anything. So the thought there would be, okay, I play it handheld with that version of the game. I get home and I want to play it on my 4K flat screen display. Well, I dock my Zune with my TV
And then instead of launching the game on the physical hardware, assuming there's an internet connection, it then launches the game in the cloud version of it, which would then allow them to push the higher quality graphics and visuals and stuff like that to the television that way. And it uses the cloud sync to pull your save in, and you basically pick up and play that way. So that was the rumored way I had seen from a couple different, I don't know how much this was speculation from some folks versus leaks and things like that, but that is what I had seen as a rumored approach to how a handheld Xbox device could work.
Am I going to be the old man who goes, I think we're going too far with this shit?
Why?
I mean, calm down. We don't need gaming that readily. I mean, I love gaming. Don't get me wrong. But that's like, this is Black Mirror. This is an episode of that just going down. Like, come on, what are we doing?
I mean, if you pull it off, the tech behind it's pretty cool. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's cool, but can it go to something else better than gaming?
No, we're working towards Black Mirror every day. That's what we're doing here. Jeez, haven't you noticed?
More or less.
And like I said, not that I love gaming. Don't get me. I'm not like against it at all. Like, but I think there should be a limit.
We should also keep in mind that just because I read this on the internet and it's been attributed to leaks doesn't mean it's true either.
No. Your word is gospel. We have dictated that. It is set in stone, my friend. Gospel.
Fair enough.
Full. Don't ask me to spell it. There's a P somewhere in there. It always trips me.
I won't. I just brought up that way that I had seen because I thought it was a novel approach for how to navigate the fact that they want to make these graphically intense, really cool games, but also potentially have a handheld platform where you can't do that, as we've seen with the Switch, as we've seen with the Steam Deck and things like that. You can load those things up with hardware, but it's never going to have quite the same performance of that big ass box that you sit in your entertainment center.
I mean, I could use the PlayStation 5 as a handheld, just strap a screen to it.
I mean, in theory, or you could just buy the PlayStation Portal. It's such a great device.
Oh, yeah, that thing was stupid. That thing's so stupid.
$200, man. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I have a cell phone. Can't I just do it that way?
Yep. Hold on, let me go get my Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
Mine's still in my mom's attic.
Oh, man. I wish I always kick myself to this day because I remember after they had canceled the Virtual Boy, they were like closeouting them at Toys R Us and everything was dirt cheap. And I was like, man, I could have gotten that. And I never did.
What do you mean after they canceled? That motherfucker had 12 games in total.
Yeah. And then, I remember.
Wait, I'm not sure if that's in just America or if that was in total for every region.
It was not a lot, regardless.
It might have been in total, yeah.
I remember after it had been canceled, they're just trying to get the inventory out of Toys R Us. Like, the Virtual Boy hardware was $40 and the games were like $5 or less a piece. And I was like, man, I could buy the entire thing. And I was, God, that was what, mid 90s? So I was probably a tween or a teen at that point in time.
I should have picked it up when it was that, because I think it was $40 at our Toys R Us too. I should have picked it up when it was that cheap,
and I didn't even get the best game for it. And I played it for a good while. I mean, Mario Tennis, that thing slapped. The fucking wireframe flyer shooter, that was all right. I think it was Red Alert. That's it.
Yeah,
and there was but the best one was the Wario game. Apparently that was the best one. I never got to try it.
No, it was. I had a buddy that had
an emulation that runs pretty well because you don't need the 3D to play it.
I wonder if you could do it emulation in some of those headsets like the Apple One and the Meta Quests or whatever, if they could do emulation of
the 3D wasn't all that good, man. I mean, do you really want to go through all that effort to do something that's like,
I mean, how much effort is it for me if someone has set it up so that the emulation works? So you just put the ROM in and press go.
You know what? You got me there.
Caveat, the legality of doing that is something that people need to determine for themselves before they decide they're going to go and download a ROM and do something like that.
What? It's not like Nintendo sues a lot of people or anything for the stupidest things, right?
Or shuts down ROM sites at the drop of a hat. They would never do that.
Do it.
I don't know. But that's what I had was the update on the status of the Xbox stuff. Like I said, kind of a nothing burger when it's all said and done. People go figure, people on the internet got bent out of shape over something they didn't fully understand. And then when the results come out, the people that were bent out of shape are just less so and still act pissy because they can't admit they were wrong
Okay, you keep using it. I have to ask at this point, what is a nothing burger to you? Is it just a burger with nothing on it? Like nothing, just a burger in the
bun? It's a hamburger patty.
Or is it just the buns and nothing?
Buns and nothing in it is what I would assume a nothing burger would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe just some condiments for flavor.
For safety?
You wouldn't know about that, would you?
Not at all. I go mustardless all the time. A little too spicy for my taste.
Oh, I apologize. But that was my news of the week. I apologize. I went a little too long on that. That was not my intent. So I will toss things
worse.
I'll toss things over to Mr. Bachman. What do you got for us for your news of the week?
Mine's simple. Last week it was Pops. This week it's four more episodes of the show. During all of the trailer drops this week of all the craziness, we also got the trailer for season two, part two of Invincible. I was trying to go through some of the articles and I just thought this one was kind of funny because I don't know. The one from Variety seems like it was someone that maybe has watched the first season, but it's definitely someone that doesn't seem to actually have an actual grasp on Invincible or have like any idea what the story's going on that wrote the article, which I don't know. Always seems funny to me.
Oh, they came from games journalism.
Yeah, they might have. They might have. Yeah, so the article is Invincible Season 2 Part 2 trailer teases a funeral, alien takeover, and massive limb-snapping battles, which, you know, sounds like Invincible to me.
Yeah, sounds like the book I've read.
Yeah, I see. So, like, the first sentence throws me off. The final half of Invincible is nearly here, and Prime Video has released the first trailer for the bloody finale to Season 2.
Final half of this season.
Final half? Yeah, it's... Yeah. The final four episodes of season two. This ain't the end of the show.
So caveat, have they officially announced it's been renewed? I don't honestly know. Or how
they
long
got
many
season
it was
two
for?
And three okay. after the first four episodes came out of season one. Yeah. So three's already been animated. Yeah.
Then I would argue that the author just screwed up their terminology a little bit.
Just the phrasing of it seemed weird the way they put it. So let's see. Season two, part two consists of four episodes. Begin streaming Prime Video March 14th. We'll release each episode weekly. It's like, I just want, it's only four episodes. Just give me the four episodes.
But they've got the way they've changed their subscription model there. They're not going to drop those anymore.
Nope. Yeah. It's all about getting you to get at least 2 months worth of Amazon Prime. Let's see. Part one released back in November ended on several cliffhangers with Invincible, a.k.a. Mark Grayson, bumping into his father, Omni-Man, who tried to kill him in the season one finale on an alien planet. And then the way they wrote this is kind of funny, too. The tense reunion got even more awkward when Omni-Man revealed he had fathered a child with one of the insectoid alien members. True. We met Oliver at the end of the last season or the end episode of the first half of season two. It's hard to do it when they do the half season shit.
Yeah.
Together,
we just need to call them 1A and 1B and 2A and 2B or 2A something like that.
It says, together, Invincible and Omni-Man barely defeated three Viltrumite attackers, comma, who took Omni-Man back to their base and ordered Invincible to prepare Earth for takeover. So obviously they didn't beat them if they then took Omni-Man prisoner. The way it's written is just strange. So they fought three Viltrumites and then lost the fight.
So I'm going to ask that weird question here. Do we know it's a person that wrote it, or they just throw this to the AI to write?
I don't know. It's got a name on it, and when I clicked on it, it actually goes to a person's bio profile and has them as like the person that is in charge of all of their interns. So I think it may have just been like, it may poorly honestly written. Be one of the kids, first times writing an article.
Okay.
So, and it's not bad. It's just the way some of it's worded is just kind of strange. Yeah. It seems like someone that maybe didn't actually watch the show was given the job of writing the article, which, hey, it happens. You know, one of my favorite movie reviews of all time was the Navy Times News. They had a person who reviewed movies for the newspaper that we got on base for free when I was in boot camp, A school, C school, tech corps. There's a free newspaper you could pick up. We had a theater on base. And so because movies would come to that theater, they would review those movies. A lady that worked there as the movie reviewer, if I remember correctly, reviewed Con Air? I know it was a Nick Cage movie. I'm not sure. It might have been Con Air. But her review was based on the trailer. And she was angry about things that were in the trailer that were not in the movie. It's like, you reviewed a movie that you didn't even fucking watch. That is your job, is reviewing movies. What is wrong with you?
I mean, have you seen some of the trailers they have out today? You just watched the whole movie.
So this is a bad time to point out that there's at least three episodes of The Walking Dead that I reviewed, and Walking the Walking Dead that I never actually watched.
Yeah, you've mentioned it before. Well, but now, I mean, who cares? There's 9 Walking Dead shows, so, you know.
And a new TV movie or miniseries coming out in like a week or two.
Yeah, yay. It's ridiculous. Let's see. Yeah, that's all they said on there. Just that. Oh yeah, we're getting so bloody limb snapping intergalactic action. Invincible returns to space, must handle an invasion from the mind controlling parasitic aliens seen in the first season. The Sequids are coming. Nice. We got Omni-Man being interrogated by the Viltrumites, who send a female agent to Earth to fight Invincible, which everybody that's read the book knows the bad foreshadowing there. And there's also the return of the multiverse hopping alien Angstrom Levy. And a mysterious funeral tease at the end, which, if you've read the book, you know whose funeral that is. So it's no mine. Spoilers. Yeah. For those spoilers, those who haven't read the book. But yeah, it's weird because one of the things that people maybe don't understand if they watch the show is the Viltrumites that showed up to kill Omni-Man and Mark fight them. They killed 2 of them, but the one that Omni-Man thought he had killed shows up at the end of the fight, snaps Omni-Man's back with just a long distance super kick. And so the Viltrumites take Omni-Man, put him in prison, and they're waiting to execute him because the Viltrumite way is you cannot execute someone that is not at full strength. So they have to be fully healthy and like ready to die is the weird Viltrumite way of doing things. And so they let Mark live because he lived through his first fight with Viltrumites. And so he earned the honor of possibly becoming part of the Viltrumite Empire because he proved he's a really tough bastard and he's hard to kill. Which is pretty much what the Invincible comic book is all about, is just characters that are really, really hard to kill. And when it gets to the end of the book, you're down to like 4 of them. Like, there's just some people that are really, really, really hard to kill. And there's some good stories told about those characters as you get towards the end of 144. But yeah, so pretty much the entire voice cast is back and new people. And we're going to get to see... You know, they did little glimpses of it. The most important part is that you see glimpses of what looks like Mark wearing a cape. And so for those who have read the comics know that it is Mark Grayson. It is Invincible. It is not the Mark Grayson or Invincible from our universe that we're aware of. And this is where you find out why Angstrom Levy is one of the worst supervillains ever. Because I think by the end of these 4 episodes, we're going to get the Invincible War. Which is Angstrom Levy shows up with a bunch of Invincibles from the alternate universes where Mark Grayson joined his dad and is an asshole. And Angstrom brings them to this Earth to take out good guy Mark Grayson. So it's Invincible and all the heroes of Earth fighting a bunch of evil Invincibles. And yeah, it was one of the best comics ever. It was one of the only Image crossovers they did that all took place in Invincible. Like Savage Dragon showed up. Spawn that showed was cool. up. Like, everybody showed up to help fight in the Invincible War, and most of it was just like little panels on a page. Like, nobody got a big storyline during it, but like everybody was there, which was kind of awesome because, you know, especially with more you know, Image isn't, you know, Marvel or DC big, it's still more of an independent company, like it's smaller, but like you don't really see all those characters crossing over that often. And yeah, the Invincible War was the one time it's like, oh, you saw basically everybody. Like everybody showed up to fight all these damn evil ass Invincibles because, well, they needed them. It's so good. I need to get back to reading the comic again. I'm on the 3rd hardcover on my read through for this year, and it's just such a damn good book.
I think I read it on my iPad like once a year basically at this point in time because I have them all digitally in Comixology, so just like download.
Yeah, last year I have the 3 Ultimate Compendiums in digital files. So it's, yeah, like a third of each one. But yeah, I hadn't actually, since I own them all, I've never actually sat down and opened up all the Ultimate Edition library ones, which are oversized. And see, I think it's right here. Yeah. They're all actually bigger than normal comics. And so you get Ryan Ottley's artwork even larger than normal. And then the best thing is the back of all these, you get like sketches. You get like Ryan Ottley and Corey Walker designs. And in the really funny books, some of the times you get Robert Kirkman designs. Robert Ooh. Kirkman thought he was going to be an artist. There's a reason he's a writer. They are usually not good, but they are funny. And he will make notes about how funny some of them are. But yeah, like when you see like some of like the, you know,
designs for covers and stuff. And then like a couple of the books have like full scripts in the back. So yeah, the library edition, like Invincible is one of those books, like they've done so many versions of it. Like you've got the, you know, actual floppy issues, 144 of them. You've got the, what is it? The, I don't even know how many trades they ended up doing total, like 28 or something. But then, yeah, if you want to get it in hardcover oversized, there's 12 of these and they run from like $35 to $50 depending on the volume. And some of them are hard to find. Some of them, the best thing is some of them you can get on Brian Otley's store. And if you buy them from him, he'll send you like a signed comic of like Grizzly Shark and Sea Bear every once in a while, or a Death Grub, his 24-hour comic. But yeah, it's worth picking up in hardcover just for all the stuff that's in the back that you don't get anywhere else. All the collected just bonus materials. They're fantastic hardcovers. But yeah, we're getting more than Invincible next month. I'm excited. And Amazon's going to get my $15 again. Because
there you go.
I'm watching Invincible, damn it.
I need to get caught up on the show. But since I knew they were still getting done with season two, I'm not super concerned about it. But now it might be time to hop back in. Because I am actually watching another show on Prime Video right now. So I might as well just make use of it while I'm doing it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Plus, yeah, the four episodes of the new season two go quick. I've rewatched them, I think, five times since they've been out. So it's a fun little set of just four of just that short bit. It's basically like popping in a movie. You're watching those four episodes. So it's a nice little arc.
Yeah, sure seems like it. But on that note, I guess we have wrapped up our news of the week. What do we do on this show when we wrap up the news of the week? We have one last segment, a chance to share with you fine folks watching live or listening to a later date the geeky or nerdy things we've been getting into. It's a little segment called What I'm Into. And I know that Willie was saying he might have to pop off early. So, Willie, why don't you kick things off for us? What have you been getting into? I'm pretty sure I know the answer for at least some of it. But what's going on?
Well, I appreciate the honor going first, even though the previous engagement has been canceled, but I do appreciate it.
You'll go last now.
No, fuck off. I already started. So what I've been getting into for, I think it's set for about like 123 hours I've been playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Still have not beat it yet. Getting there, there's a lot of gain to the game. Let me just tell you. Not only am I going through and doing Pokemon Snap, the Animal Crossing Island, that was fun to fully get done with, and it gives you, it rewards you with a lot of money. And it's nice to actually see the old dollar symbol instead of the yen symbol. Nothing wrong with the yen symbol. I'm just so used to seeing the dollar symbol. It's just a little touch better, especially in Honolulu where it takes place. So that's been nice. Still just going through the main story. There's so much to it, but I'm getting there. I'm chugging along and getting there. Other than that, the only thing I want...
So real quick on that, how far are you in the story, do you think?
I am in chapter 12.
How many chapters are there?
I have no idea.
Okay. And I'm
usually,
not gonna...
usually 12 and then a final. And the finals were all like the stuff, the final stuff. But I don't know. I have no idea.
Does it feel like you're coming up on the end game based off of what you've experienced in the story?
I can see how they could.
Okay.
But it really seems like they're not.
Fair.
So, yeah. I mean, I have been doing all the side quest stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I've also tempering myself from doing that because I don't want to be too over leveled for the main story, the main plot, which I'm still about 10 levels over and it doesn't scale with you. So
slightly problematic then, I'm sure.
Well, it's only problematic because it really makes New Game Plus like that much better for this game, and this is the one that they decided to put New Game Plus behind a paywall. That's what I'm starting to see, and it's like that's a finger wag if that's what's really going on here.
How much of a paywall are we talking about?
Just to like the digital deluxe version, which I think it has like I think it's $10 to get that version if you already have the regular version.
Annoying, but at least it's only $10.
still
I don't like
the give them an inch. They'll take what are they, meters? Yeah, they use meters.
They'll give take, them a little meter, they'll take a kilometer. Meter.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't do that. But other than that, I just want to give out my top five songs I've been listening to this week. Not that they've released anytime this week, but just the top five songs that I've been listening to, I've been bopping. Number one is Everyone's a Winner by Hot Chocolate. It's a good song. You know why? Because everyone's a winner.
There you go.
Number four, Imaginary Places by Bus Driver. Then number three, Daddy AF by Slater. There's three Y's in, like Slay, but there's three Y's in Slater. So you figure out how it's said. Number two is Carolina Drama by the Raycontours. I don't know how to say the word. You know the band, right? Raycontours. No.
The Raconteurs?
Yeah, Raconteurs. I can't say the word right. Just kind of like peripheral. It's one of those things, man.
Yeah.
But the number one song is Fashionable People by the Joel Plaskett Emergency.
So the only band in that list that I've heard of is the one that Willie can't pronounce. Wow.
Well, it's not that I can't pronounce it, it's that my mouth doesn't move the correct way. Like, I can't roll my R's, man. I know that's not part of it, but it's kind of similar to that. My mouth is not a ballet. Don't treat it as such, Bachman.
Well, sorry. My body's a wonderland.
Is it?
An amusement park.
Is it because of the dandruff?
Do we call it Anatomy Park?
Yep.
Why? Have you actually played Anatomy Park, the actual board, the tabletop game?
I haven't had a chance to play it yet, no.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, it looked like it'd be fun.
I've played it many times.
That was a good little segue you gave me there for what I've been getting into. Is this last weekend was a board game night for me on last Saturday with some folks. Got to play some games I hadn't played before. And then, of course, for the first time in like 3 years, because I hadn't played it in ages, we picked up Secret Hitler and I had to remember the rules for it. But it's always kind of fun playing mind games with people, especially people you've only met once or twice before. So you don't really have a great read on them yet. So playing mind games, everyone there to try and pretend who's the fascist and who's Hitler to take over. Kind of fun. All of these things set out of context, I realize, sound very bad, everyone. But it's a board game called Secret Hitler, made by the Cards Against Humanity people before we found out some of the problems that were going on at Cards Against Humanity for quite a while there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you can go read online.
Almost like it's written on the cards.
Yeah, they had shitbags too.
Yeah, they had some problems. They were kind of shitbags.
I don't remember hearing about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm happy I've been saying, fuck Cards Against Humanity, play Quiplash from the Jackbox games. That's so much better.
Played some other games, and I can't remember the, I think it's called Hues and Clues was this other game we played, which is the first time I'd seen it, but it's a board game where like, it's just a board with a grid of different colors that run the gamut of different hues and colors that gradually increase and change. And the concept of the game of what you have to do is you pick up a card and it has three different colors on it, and it gives you the coordinates on the grid you're looking at. So say D3. And you can play with up to 12 people, I think. So you look at that color, and I'll use, for instance, the one I had that was kind of a crimson red. And so my first hint was, because I want people to have an idea of it, you get to give one hint as it goes around the room clockwise, and then everyone places a token on the board for what they think the color is, because it's all a grid based off different shades and clues. And then after they place the first token, you then get to give a second hint, which is two words. So you get to use one word the first time and two words the second time. It goes counterclockwise then as everyone places their second token to figure out whether they can get the color. And then to figure out how points are awarded, there's a little cardboard guide that's basically a 3x3 grid that you set down. And any piece inside that grid gets 3 points, or any piece inside that grid gets points based off of, there's point markers on the grid. And then anything that touches the outside of that grid gets 1 point. So you kind of get rewarded for getting close to that, or for doubling down if you think it's something close. And everyone can only pick one color. So my first clue was Sith. and then it went around. And my second clue was Vader's lightsaber going around. So that's how I gave the hint for crimson red there. So the people were able to figure out. And actually someone on their first drop actually hit exactly what the color was supposed to be. But I thought it was a very interesting game for trying to figure out how to give one and two word clues for different hues of colors.
Question. Let's use the crimson red example again. Would the word uwu be one word?
I don't know.
Is that a word?
I don't know. It's not an official word, I don't believe. It's the, you know, the anime thing with the face with the U.
It probably would have been fine. Another caveat with the rules in that game, you can't do things like lighter and darker to describe things. So you couldn't be like, after I went through and did the Sith, I couldn't be like, lighter Sith or something like that. And you also can't reuse clues. So say Willie picked up a red that was very similar in shade, he couldn't reuse my clues that I provided before. He'd have to come up with his own. So it was an interesting game.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
What kind of imbecile do you think I am? You think I come up with my own comparisons to colors? Oh, I got a crimson red. I'm all about Star Wars Sith. I'm all about Sith. Well, I got the Rebel Alliance here on my face. Where's your Rebel Alliance? Probably shoved right up your ass. I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know where you were going with it either. So some other stuff I've been getting into. I found out that Comcast upgraded my internet speeds without really telling me, because I was uploading a podcast to YouTube last week. And I'm like, why is this going so quickly? And I went from having 35 megabits per second up to like 200 megabits per second up. And I'm like, okay,
nice.
This is a nice difference for doing things, especially when you're uploading 20 gig files to YouTube. So that was a nice little thing to find out. I played more of the Skull and Bones beta this last weekend with my dad. The weirdest thing they did with that, though, is they took out the party chat during the beta. So, like, there's party chat built into it so that if you're doing partying up with people to play, because you can play with up to three people across multiple platforms and you can talk, they turned off party chat. My dad doesn't use Discord, so we ended up just, I have, like, unlimited minutes on my cell phone, and so does he. So I had
my
Xbox. Yeah, I had my Xbox headset, and the way it works, you can pair with Bluetooth and your Xbox and then mix the sound. So I basically had it mixing the sound from the game with the audio from the phone call. It was able to do it that way, which worked surprisingly well. Skull and Bones is fine. It's basically you drive a pirate ship around, you collect a bunch of loot. And
it's Nintendo all over again. You got a phone to use to talk to people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, my understanding is the game, if you pre-ordered anything other than the regular edition, was people were able to play starting yesterday, 2 days early, and I think it drops officially tomorrow. So I believe they turned on cross chat again, but that's both betas I played. They did not have party chat enabled, which was really weird for a game where they want to encourage you to party up with people.
Well, ships strange. Can't talk, so
I mean, okay. Yes, there is that. I have Xbox Game Pass, so it allows me to commit a cardinal sin that Willie's going to shame me for. I didn't pay for it because it's part of my subscription, but I did download Madden 24. I went on there so I could just play a little football for shits and giggles.
I mean, it's already there, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They already got the money regardless if you downloaded it. I wasn't sure
if you were going to shame me for it or not. And then watching...
I mean, be better, but yeah.
Fair enough. Been watching... Got the second episode of Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Prime Video watched. I've really enjoyed that. I enjoy Donald Glover, so that doesn't surprise me. And because we had the X-Men 97 trailer today after work, because it'd been ages since I saw it, I popped up the old Disney Plus and replayed the final episode of X-Men, the animated series. Because it looks like X-Men 97 starts pretty much right after that from what we saw in the trailer. Just kind of as a refresher of how did this leave off? Because I don't think I'd actually seen the final episode since it originally aired back in the 90s. So it'd been a while.
I can't remember if I've actually seen the last episode.
I had kind of forgotten that they changed who was doing the animation for like the last season of that show. And the animation in the final season of X-Men looks really cheap compared to what it was in the earlier seasons. And I kind of went, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's what they do with cartoons. Yeah. Make it cheaper, make more money.
Yeah. So that's what I've been getting into, watching some shows. Of course, watching my pro wrestling, because that's what I do. I enjoy that stuff. It's fun. But that's what I've been getting into. Mr. Bachman, why don't you wrap things up for us? What have you been getting into?
Let's see. So we paid for a month of Amazon Prime so we could watch the last episode and a half of Wheel of Time, because that show is just fucking fantastic. And then, yeah, because of that, I got to watch the Invincible first four episodes of season two again. And then watched a couple of just random movies and stuff on there. Let's see. Nothing big movie-wise or show-wise, just picking up random stuff wherever. And then, yeah, we did the board game night with we played the Villainous one. And Jana was not happy about the fact that it took us like 3 hours to play that game again, because we haven't been doing it often enough. And so when you forget how to play a game and it's one of those big convoluted ones, it starts over. So I very happily have been working on putting the Space Marine board game together. So it comes with, I think it's 22 Tyranids and one Space Marine, and they're all pushed to fit. But of course, I'm going to, you know, put them together and then actually put bases on them and paint them so they'll all look nice. But I've been building up those. I think I have 12 of the bugs done, and I just primed all of them, and I got the Space Marine put together and primed. And then I went down, and I haven't actually picked up my figure yet, but I found out, I think I said last week, I didn't win the last painting contest, but I did pick up the next figure that I'm going to use in the next painting contest. So I got my little ghoul. So he's got his little sword. Let's see. Come on, camera. Do your thing.
Good luck.
It never works. But yeah, so it's just a little ghoul guard from Age of Sigmar with a little sword. So this one's a little tiny guy. Hopefully it'll only take me a couple of days. And then the stepdaughter had gone to some event at a gaming store that's new in town. They had some sale items on, and she picked up three dogs for me and a guillotine. And I actually got, now that the comic book collection Giant Fiasco 5-year project is done, my floor is all cleaned up again. And so I was able to sit down at my work desk and start working on some painting. So I slapped a little wood contrast paint on my guillotine to get it started. I had to do the bottom of it because it's a full like 3D object, and waiting for that to dry. So now I can paint the top. But then I also, just for the fun of it, threw a slap of paint on one of the doggos. So just a little Gorfang brown contrast paint, and he doesn't look too bad. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to painting my three doggos and my guillotine and a bunch of bugs. And I think we have an idea for what color scheme we're going to do from, what's it called? High Fleet Hydra. So each of the Tyranids are organized into high fleets instead of like chapters like the Space Marines. And so each giant fleet of bugs that came into a certain sector of space to attack planets and eat them for the biomass have different color schemes. So High Fleet Hydra is like the normal body bone exterior is purple, and then the Chitin armor is like black. So I'm going to do that with like some light gray highlights. It's a pretty cool looking color scheme. There was one that was black and red, but like I already have my word bearers and I love black and red as a color scheme, but I can't have everything that I paint be just black and red. So I was like, I'm going to do some purple and some like either dark charcoal gray or almost black with gray highlights. So yeah, they're going to be fun. It was nice to actually sit down on my desk and paint something last night while I was listening to a Stephen King, The Losers Club podcast. I went back and started that one. So I listened to their first episode talking about Carrie from way back in the day. That was their actual first episode. So yeah, it's fun going back and listening to old. It was like the first big published book, not the first book that he wrote, but the first one that like hit shelves. Yeah, and made some money. And then yeah, it was something where like he made like $5,000 for the hardcover, and like only a few people picked it up. But then when Brian De Palma made the movie, he got something like I want to say it was like $400,000 for the paperback rights. So like, it was a huge, like, that's when Stephen King became Stephen King, basically, was in between the hardcover and the paperback at Carrie. Because, like, it did well on the shelves and hardcover, but after that movie, like, it sold gangbusters. But yeah, it was a good podcast. I mean, and it's called The Losers Club, which is perfect. If you're a Stephen King fan of It, you know that's what the kids called themselves in that book. So, Losers
what
Club.
What a bunch of losers.
Bunch of losers. Losers Club. But yeah. That and yeah, listening to some random podcasts, and that's about it. Just working on painting now, because yeah, I got all them damn comics put away. Now I got like 23 long boxes of comics I gotta try to sell, but I got my 12 right here that I'm keeping. So those are the keepers. So those boxes have Invincible. They've got every Ultimate comic that has Spider-Man in the title. So I didn't keep all my Ultimate comics, but I have like Ultimate Fallout. I have Ultimate The Secret Six. I have Ultimate The End. I've got Ultimate Spider-Man, all three versions, I think.
That's then, a yeah, lot Brand- of them that don't have Spider-Man in the title.
No, but I mean like Spider-Man is one of the main characters in it.
Oh, okay, yeah, like, okay.
Like Ultimate Fallout is the fallout from the death of Ultimate Spider-Man, and Ultimate Fallout is where you meet Miles Morales. So it's a good the book creation. It's the creation of the new Spider-Man, which I actually found out while I was going through my stack of books. It's like, okay, these are damaged books, 25-cent books. So just random books I picked up here, there, wherever. They were all going to go into two boxes that I've got now that are marked as yard sale comics. So when we have our yard sale this summer, they're going to be like 25-cent comics, you know, five for a buck if kids come through. And as I was going through those, I found out not only do I have Ultimate Fallout in these boxes, I have the second printing of Ultimate Fallout that I think I picked up for 50 cents. And like even the second printing of that goes for like $100 on eBay right now.
Yeah, not bad. So,
yeah. First Miles Morales, I got two. And then, of course, those boxes are also full of like New Warriors, Nova, Multiple Man, First Appearance, Giant Size, Fantastic Four, Number Four, characters that I absolutely love that nobody gives a shit about, and they are worthless. I have like six copies of New Warriors Number One. I think the most I've ever paid for that book is $3, and it was like $1.75 when it hit the stands in, you know, 92. So yeah, one of the nice things is if you're a huge fan of a book that nobody else likes, you get to buy them cheap. I own three pages of New Warriors comic book art over here drawn by Mark Bagley himself. I didn't pay more than $40 for either one of those pages. I got all three of those pages for less than I paid for any one of these fucking Ryan Otley pages over here. It's fun being a fan of stuff that people don't like, too.
Right?
I love me some New Warriors. My $120 worth of Mark Bagley pages are fucking awesome. And they're beautiful. But yeah, that's what I've been getting into.
And one thing I forgot as we wrap things up, I've been watching on DVR After Midnight on... which airs on CBS, which is, we talked about before, the successor to At Midnight, basically.
You old man.
Why?
I can't wait till it actually airs.
You have to watch it the next day.
It's too late.
Well, yeah, I get up at 5 a.m. for work every day. You want me to stay up till 1:30 in the morning?
Yeah. I just want to call you old man. That's it.
Willie, I am older than you by a few months, so technically you are the baby of the podcast.
Fucking whippersnapper.
Why do you say it like that?
Willie's the baby.
It's the baby.
There baby. Is a part of the I'm pretty sure it's part of the main story in Like a Dragon where there's a baby stroller that gets loose from this woman pushing it and you have to chase Uh-oh. After it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Turns out it's a Yakuza you actually ran into in the last game who is in the baby play.
Oh.
So it's just him sitting in the baby position, just legs all up and everything like, hey, Kasuga, what are you doing in Hawaii? It's just
weird.
It's so good. It's oh, so weird. Good. And those characters actually return back from the Yakuza 2 remake. I don't know if they were in the original Yakuza 2, but they were definitely... I'm pretty sure they started in the remake of 2.
I just saw this post on Threads, and I know it's not true, but I want it to be. Morbius Uh-oh. Showing up in the Madam Web post credits scene to say it's Morbin time made the movie worth seeing.
To be fair, yeah. It might actually make the movie worth seeing.
Right?
That would be the one way for them to get a bump. I think it made like $6 million opening weekend. Like
it looks bad.
Sony. It made Sony. Worse than
that's all you had to do.
It made worse than Aquaman 2 numbers. Like, bad. Bad.
It's not Morbin time, evidently. That's all I know.
If it was Morbin time, that movie actually might make money.
What I don't get is this idea that Sony's like, oh, we're going to use everything adjacent to Spider-Man and not mention Spider-Man. Like, what the fuck? Knock it off.
Well, if I know, like, man. They're trying to merge, like, the darkness of the DC movies with the Marvel movies and trying to mash them together, when what they really need to do is look at James Gunn specifically. Look at the lightheartedness. Look at that shit. Like, what is this fucking...
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know, man. Making bad decisions.
They're retracting back to, like, fucking Blade Trinity in that kind of style, and that's not a good... Don't go back to that. Don't revert back to that bullshit.
Look,
let's be honest. If it wasn't for Blade Trinity, we wouldn't have Deadpool. because that's where they realized that Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool. Cock juggling thunder cunt.
I don't know.
His Hannibal King was basically Wade Wilson.
I think we would have had him as Ryan Reynolds without Blade Trinity. It was possible.
He was always going to be Ryan Reynolds.
I don't.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know what I said. I don't care. I said what I said. I don't take my words.
Executives make bad
carefully.
Executives make bad decisions, but I'll make a good decision and say we are going to wrap this up. So a big thank you to everyone that did join us as we recorded this live on Thursday evening. A friendly reminder that in the interim, at least for a while, we're going to be recording this show live on Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern. So please come join us at gunnageek.com/live. I will try to make posts on Threads and Facebook and Twitter about when the live show is so that you get the reminders. But gunnageek.com/live is the place to go to see us as we do stream this live. So big thank you to everyone that did join us or pop in while we were streaming live. We do appreciate it, and we hope you guys come back next week. Before I shut down the stream and play the credits, you guys got any final thoughts for the people?
Ooh-woo.
I see what you did there. Ooh-woo indeed.
Ooh-woo.
Well, on that note, we are getting out of here, and we will see everyone next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this brand new episode of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. Don't forget, we'll be back next Sunday live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, over at live.atgnpodcast.com, channel 3 of the Alpha Geek radio app, and over at our network home at gunnageek.com/live. If you have any feedback for the show, please contact us, atgnpodcast@gunnageek.com, on our hotline number at 304-806-ATGN, or even better, go to Twitter and send us a message at atgnpodcast. The music you've heard in this show is produced by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com.